Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special Wednesday edition of News That You Can Use. The Economic SOS, continuing to give you information that you can use to change the way that you see and hear what is going on around you, what is being told to you by the mainstream media. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason that this is a special podcast and the reason that it wasn't up on Tuesday is because the topic that I chose to do the talk on today is just so vast. And I'll start out with a quote and then I'll tell you what it's all about. Each person carries his own doctor inside him. They come to us not knowing the truth. We are at our best when we give the doctor who resides in each patient a chance to go to work. And that's from Dr. Albert Schweitzer. Again, each person carries his own doctor inside him. They come to us not knowing that truth. We are at our best when we give the doctor who resides in each patient a chance to go to work. And ladies and gentlemen, the topic is cancer. And I dedicate this podcast to a very special person that I recently met. And they told me that their mother had cancer. A very good friend of mine, my mentor, Charles Daniels, who's a life coach, his stepdaughter, died of cancer a few months ago. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think there's anyone listening to the podcast. In fact, I don't think there's anyone listening out there who hasn't had someone touched in their lives in one form or fashion through breast cancer, testicular cancer, ovarian cancer. This is not, ladies and gentlemen, a disease of our genes. This is a dis-ease of the body that we have allowed to run rampant in our lifestyle. And that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Cancer is a dis-ease of the body brought on by our lifestyle. And there are various studies from around the world, ladies and gentlemen, not just in the United States, but from around the world, that as old as 2000, as old as the 1940s. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever heard of the American Cancer Society? One of the largest volunteer organizations, according to their website, established to fight cancer. They help fund research to look for a cure. But ladies and gentlemen, this organization, from 1946 up until now, and these are their numbers, are claiming that they spent $3.6 billion. $1 billion, ladies and gentlemen, to help find a cure for various cancers. They fund various research. They help create legislation and policy to help understand how to eradicate cancer. And the legislation, ladies and gentlemen, you remember it when there was the big tobacco debate about does cigarette smoking and tobacco products cause cancer? Well, the American Cancer Society says that they help create that legislation and fight for legislation to get cigarettes regulated, to get the warning label on the cigarettes. But my question is, ladies and gentlemen, is that an organization that has been around since the 1940s and helping to write, create, steer legislation, why do we still have this disease rampant across the country? And the reason is, ladies and gentlemen, because there are so many hands involved in this thing we call cancer. This lifestyle disease based on what we eat, based on our lack of exercise, the chemicals that we spray in our homes, in our cars, in our carpets, on us. You see, ladies and gentlemen, cancer is... Well, let me read to you from an article. And this is from the African Traditional Herbal Research Center in Uganda. See, ladies and gentlemen, people are talking about this all of the time, all over the world, because of this progression, this lifestyle that we're living. And the article is titled, Cancer's Wake-Up Call. And this is from November of 2006. Cancer is commonly seen as a mystery, and yet it has been established that the root of this dreaded illness is a metabolic malfunction that's linked directly with the food we eat and the way we live our lives. It is very important at the first indication of cancer to begin drinking lots of deep green vegetable juice from collard greens, turnip greens, kale greens, cabbage, and drink it often 3 or 4 ounces 5 to 6 times a day. One should also stop eating white sugar, honey, white flour, processed food, and other simple carbohydrates because they feed and fuel the malignant growth of cancer. In addition, cancer cells on us drastically reduce or can be eliminated through time. The eating of meat and pasteurized foods also increases its growth. These foods do two things. They make the body chemistry more acidic, and they use up the scarce supply of protein digesting enzymes that are desperately needed by helping to destroy cancer cells. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here, it's quite lengthy, and I don't want to read the whole thing because there's other items that I want to get to as well. There's various studies out there from well-known universities. Tufts University School of Medicine in Boston, Massachusetts has done a study ongoing linking the plastic food containers with breast cancer. An article from 2005 in The Guardian, a chemical widely used in food packaging may be contributing factors to women developing breast cancer, scientists have suggested. The study links the compound to the development of hormone-sensitive tissue in mice and has prompted environmental campaigners to call for tighter regulation of such chemicals. A chemical known as bisphenol A or BPA. It is used in plastic food containers, cans, and dental sealants, and other research suggest it leaches from products and is absorbed in low concentrations by the human body. Now, most of us, ladies and gentlemen, get our food in various packages. We get it from the fast food restaurants. We get it from the supermarkets. Juice, waters. It's in things because it's convenient. We don't package things in glass or drinks in glass containers anymore, although the glass is safer by far than the chemicals that leach from the plastic. But it's about economics, ladies and gentlemen, and that's all the podcast talks about, economics in one form or fashion. Pesticides, another article. Farmers exposed to certain chemicals at great risk. Reuters in Washington, and this is from 2003, May the 2nd, 2003. Farmers who use certain pesticides seem to have a high risk of prostate cancer, U.S. government researchers said Thursday. The researchers who published their study in the American Journal of Epidemiology confirmed other findings that show farmers have an unusually high risk of prostate cancer. Associations between pesticide use and prostate cancer among the farm population have seen an increase in previous studies. Farming is the most consistent occupational risk factor for prostate cancer. Michael Alvinia of the National Cancer Institute, who helped fund and lead the study, said in a statement. Between 1993 and 1999, 566 new prostate cancers developed among the men, compared to 495 that would normally be expected in Iowa and North Carolina, the two states studied. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about one pesticide, methyl bromine, increased the risk of prostate cancer in all men. But where are these so-called wonder drugs, wonder chemicals, these wonderful things that are being sprayed on the crop to keep the insect population down coming from? The grand chemical companies, the companies that tell you that we can make your life better through the use of chemicals. They make the plastics, they convert the oil, the crude oil, into various products for us. Plastic scrub sponges that we use to clean our kitchen, the plastic dish trays that we use to stick our dishes in, the holders for the dishes, even in the dishwashers, the liners in the refrigerator. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can't get away from it. The plastic socket holders for the electrical sockets. Plastics are all around us, and the chemicals derived from the crude oil and synthetic chemicals are killing us. That's a part of lifestyle. Now, I'm not going to be so naive and say that you could just get rid of them all and eliminate all of these risks to your health, because you can't, unless you decide to go and live in the wild and as close to nature as possible, which in reality, many of us are not going to do. So what are some solutions to this dreaded disease? Well, here's a solution, and this is from a book. Back in 1980, ladies and gentlemen, 1980, 30 years ago, it's a simple little book, and it talks about 9-day cleansing and blood wash for renewed youthfulness and health by I.E. Gamont in association with Harold E. Bertram, M.D. And I looked at this book, ladies and gentlemen, and happened to find it on a bookshelf. And the book talks about a simple approach to getting your life back in order. The 9-day cleanse consists of eating only fresh fruits and vegetables. Raw and cooked can be eaten, but the majority should be raw. At night, a glass full of garlic broth made from 6 cloves of raw garlic cooked in water in a small vessel and 1/3 glass of water. Pour the cooked garlic and broth into an 8-ounce glass and fill the glass with skim milk. Goat's milk is best. Drink it before retiring. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't try that part, but I have seen, and as I said, this book is 30 years old, and it talks about cleaning out the inside of your body, getting your body on track for proper elimination and reducing the use of processed foods. Now, the pushback that you get from this, and ladies and gentlemen, I am by no means the expert, the scholar on this. I'm working on myself to get to a point of doing that as well, because the lifestyle that many of us lead, we used to say it was just so hectic, so busy. We've got this to do in the morning. We've got that to do in the evening. We've got this to do before we go to bed. But what is the trade-off? And by no means, I'm not saying that you have to forget the things that you need to do or put them on the back burner. If you have children, you can't not take care of your children. If you have school in the evening, you can't tell yourself, I just won't go because I need to take care of my health. What we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is start making time for our health, blocking out 15 minutes in the morning. Getting up 15 minutes earlier in the morning to make yourself a healthy smoothie instead of the diet, the sad diet, the standard American diet that's been killing us, that we've been eating, the white flour, the white sugar, all of those things that we have come to grow and learn as in the South, calling them soul food or comfort food. All of that, ladies and gentlemen, a large part of that is killing us. Coupled with the fact that we don't exercise, with the fact that most of us work on jobs where we're not physically active, so the body does not have a chance to rid itself of the toxins of the food that has been piled on inside in the colon from meal after meal without eliminating itself. And the doctors tell you that it's okay if you only have a bowel movement once every few days, once a week. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have children, do you remember when they were babies? And how soon, when you had a feeding for that child, how quickly did the child eliminate? Children, babies eliminate shortly after they eat because the body used up the nutrients that were in the food and expelled the rest. But as we get older, we get this convoluted idea that we don't have to go like babies because someone in a white coat told us that it was okay. You see, we're being led down a path, ladies and gentlemen. We're being led down a path of destruction. We live in an age we are controlled by masters of manipulation. Madison Avenue tells us that we have to look a certain way, smell a certain way, turn our heads so that our hair is shiny and bouncy. You see, ladies and gentlemen, who gives a damn if your head is light and bouncy and colorful when you're in the hospital sick from dis-ease? It makes us want to look that way because inside our body is in such turmoil. Our minds are in such turmoil and such pain and such confusion because the foods that we're eating are destroying us from the inside. They're confusing the body because it can't digest them properly. The toxins are piling up in our system, and as a result, the cancer, the cells that are dividing uncontrollably and being constantly fed the garbage that many of us eat on a consistent basis. Many of the things that we think are healthy aren't, and we don't have the time to investigate, to learn, to understand that in order for us to change our eating habits, we have got to learn more about what we're putting into our bodies. And also what's going on the outside of our bodies as well. Here's some indications of how we're dying, ladies and gentlemen, to look good. And this comes from African Holistic Health by Dr. Laila Africa. Now, don't get upset, don't get confused, and don't think, oh, I'm not African, this isn't for me. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a researcher, scholar who writes about health and nutrition and wellness from a perspective of real research. He talks about dying to look good, the eating of harmful cosmetic ingredients. Cosmetics and personal care products are usually made from harmful synthetic chemicals. The chemicals are absorbed into the skin and get into the blood. When you put on your skin, you are eating. Excuse me, what you put on your skin, you are eating. You eat your cosmetics. This is a list of some of the examples. AHA, alpha hydroxy acid. These are chemicals that expose the outer layer of skin to the sun by eliminating the top layer, burning and destroying, exfoliating for a youthful appearance. It does give temporary youthful appearance of the skin by burning away this top layer. However, later in life, the skin appears older. AHA gets into the blood and exfoliates the tissues of the organs, burning away the tissues, ladies and gentlemen, exposing it to toxins on the inside and disease of the blood. Albumin. Formulas usually contain non-purified cow's bovine serum. Albumin, it dries the skin and forms a film over wrinkles. The film causes the skin to suffocate and hold more moisture. It temporarily covers the wrinkles, giving it a youthful appearance, but does not remove the wrinkles. Film causes the skin to slip over the wrinkles, and the slippery feeling results in smooth skin to the touch. Aluminum, used in products. Metallic elements in pots, pans, cans, motors, aircraft compounds, and prosthetic devices. Aluminum is an ingredient in antiperspirants and acids, antiseptics. It clogs the pores of the skin, blocks blood flow, and drains electrical energy from the body and the brain. It can cause Alzheimer's because it causes the brain's blood vessels to get clogged, varicose metallic overheating, and damaging. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the mainstream media talked about years ago the possibility of aluminum causing Alzheimer's, but then it slowly disappeared from mainstream media. Most doctors, most healthcare professionals won't say it causes it because they can't prove it, and they can't prove it because doctors don't do research. The research is usually done by the chemical companies, by the pharmaceutical companies, by the very companies that pay for the research. If I'm paying you for research to find out, can I grow bluegrass in my yard? Ladies and gentlemen, don't you think I'm going to steer that research in a direction to someone who says, I've got a way to grow the bluegrass, splice a blue flower with a blade of grass that has that pigment, and voila, we can do it. Now, I'm not saying this is the most healthy thing to grow, and they won't either, because they're in the business of making money. Look on the side of some of your other products, whether it's cosmetics, or even look in your cabinet for your food. Have you ever seen ingredients D&C or FD&C? It's coal tar, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, coal tar. A cancer-causing color pigment, which causes skin sensitivity, irritation, depletion of oxygen in the body, and death. The colors used in foods, drugs, and cosmetics. Another one, DEA. A colorless liquid or crystalline alcohol that causes kidney and liver cancers and irritates the skin. It's used in solvents, ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, in our household products. Detergents. DEA works as an emollient in skin softening agents. Hand skincare products. Other poisons. And it goes on to list others, MEA, TEA, DEA, and MEA, various chemicals. But ladies and gentlemen, all of these disrupt the way the body is forming, the way the body is handling the chemicals, and if it can't handle it, it tries to excrete the toxins, but many of us don't excrete toxins through our bowels, which most of these are heavy metals. They're heavy chemical concentrates that cannot be sweated out of the skin, and since we don't go, they build up the toxic levels in us while we think that we're spraying nice fragrant chemicals in the air in our homes because we don't want to smell anything but floral essence. We don't want to have our bath soaps and our washing powders and our bubble baths to not have a wonderful fragrant smell. But who's going to smell your clothes, ladies and gentlemen? When you put them in the washer, do they really need a smell, or they just need to come out clean? The perfumes, the detergents, when we put dryer sheets in so that they have this nice fresh smell when they come out. Once your clothes are dry, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's through the dryer with a sheet or not, they don't need a smell, they just need to be clean and dry. But because there is a severe need for chemical companies to dispose of their toxic waste, the toxic waste that's in many of the detergents and perfumes and personal care products that we use come from runoff, come from factory waste where they used to pour it in the ground or in the ocean. They can't do that as much anymore, so they put it into personal products that we have in our homes, and we love it because the television commercials show us this wonderful woman all dressed up in her casual clothes, doing her laundry, hanging it out on the clothesline in a nice sunny day, which most people don't have clotheslines anymore, they have dryers. They show us spraying or having these misters in our home to spray the air so that we don't smell the stinky feet from our son's shoes because he's been playing outside. We don't smell the stinky, smelly shirt as our husband or boyfriend comes home. We don't smell the woman's, whatever it is that women may have that smell, because we want to always have this perfume floral essence. Ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to smell if we go out and sweat. The chemicals that we're inhaling, the ones that we're spraying on the furnitures, sprinkling on the carpets, are all a part of the environmental toxins that are in our homes. And this is only just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. I was overwhelmed when I started reading so much of this information about various types of cancers in the body. And if there are ways to cure cancers, and I believe that there are, from breast cancer to colon cancer, there are ways, ladies and gentlemen, there are types of therapies that people can choose to use. But the question is, do we really want the cure, or are we satisfied with the disease? Because most of the traditional doctors, most of the traditional hospitals, the huge cancer societies, cancer hospitals. They don't make a dime, ladies and gentlemen, when they're curing cancer. They need to fill those beds. They need to give patients those drugs that the pharmaceutical companies, Big Pharma, is giving them to test on people. It may extend their lives a few years. It may put the cancer into remission, but they have to continually take the drugs. They have to continually become the, and I hate to use this word, but it's true, the guinea pigs of the medical establishment. And this is not to say that they don't do some good. There are organizations that are truly out there trying to help fight this. But by and large, ladies and gentlemen, there are billions of dollars, billions with a B, that are being thrown at marketing death to us as a culture. Death by way of what we put into our mouth. As I say, ladies and gentlemen, this is not me standing on the soapbox and telling you what you need to eat. I said we are, because I'm included in that. I have my challenges of things that I love to eat. Potato chips. Oh, and by the way, there's an article that talks about California suing potato chip manufacturers. Suing potato chip manufacturers, ladies and gentlemen, and they're doing this because they found a chemical in potato chips in the processing of them. It's called acrylamide. Potato chips cooked in various oils at high temperatures result in a chemical known as acrylamide. California, and this is June the 18th, 2005. Health attorneys have found that potato chips using various oils filed lawsuits under Proposition 65. Notices sent out to manufacturers of Lay's, Pringles, Kettle Chips, and Cape Cod Chips. Research has shown these brands have unsafe levels of acrylamide. Now, a snack food, ladies and gentlemen, a snack food. Some of the others, Lay, they're actually naming them, and this is from the same newsletter that I quoted earlier, naming the potato chips Lay's Baked On, Lay's Stacked Barbecue, Lay's KC Masterpiece, Lay's Natural Country Barbecue Chips, KC Barbecue Masterpiece, Pringles Snack Stacks, the Pizzalicious Flavor, Pringles Sweet Mesquite Barbecue, Kettle Chips Lightly Salted, Kettle Chips Honey Dijon, Cape Cod Robust Russet, and Cape Cod Classic Chips. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you that the information is out there. Many of us may not have the time to go out and research it. That's why I do the podcast. And if you care about your family, your friends, your coworkers, I implore you to let them, have them, pester them to listen to this. And if they have 10 minutes while they're on Facebook chatting with their friends, dropping a note about how their day was, open up a page on their web browser and type in cancer from foods. Type in fluoridated water, how it's destroying the teeth of our children, how it's causing challenges in our brains for everyone, not just the children. Sodium fluoride. Have them look at the fact that sugar feeds cancer. And there's sugar in so many products, ladies and gentlemen. Go into your cabinet and look. Your dry goods, even not the beans, but look at your peanut butter. Look at your ketchup. Look at your orange juice. Products that do not need sugar in them, even potato chips, have them in there. Sausages, luncheon meat, a host of products. And why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, and many people will say it's a conspiracy. Yes, it is. Industry, from the food industry to the chemical industry to the pharmaceutical industries, have conspired. They've gotten together, not in smoke backfilled rooms, but they do conference calls. They create agenda. They hold conferences. They do seminars. They do studies on what this food will do to you. So is it any wonder that sugar in so many products, the cancer rate is skyrocketing around the world because everyone wants something with a sweet taste. We've become addicted to salt. We become addicted to sugar and fat. We want the food to have a taste. And if it doesn't, we sprinkle more on it. And we look for those products that taste good to us. And we're raising a generation of children who have no idea what natural food tastes like. So consequently, we're going to have children, ladies and gentlemen, and it's already being seen right now with the highest rate of diabetes right now. Type 2 diabetes because of not genetics, but the food that's in their bodies. So we'll talk again, ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow, on Thursday, and talk about some economic news and how this food, this conspiracy, this cancerous mindset is destroying society from within. Oh, and just one last thought, ladies and gentlemen, just one last thought for you to ponder. If you're ever at home during the day hours, maybe 9 to 5, or even up late at night, when you see the commercials that talk about the fastest growing careers of 2012, 2016, how do you think they know what the fastest growing path and careers will be in the quote medical and quote industry? They're not talking about doctors, ladies and gentlemen, to cure disease. They're talking about nursing assistants. They're talking about people that will assist the medical complex in taking care of you as you get sicker, as you get older. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a plan. It's a plan as most businesses plan for their future. Most businesses create a business plan 5, 10, 15 years out to see where the growth path is going to be. Where do they need to be in 10 years, in 5 years, in 20 years? So how do you make sure that plan is successful if you're in the medical industry and you're truly about curing patients? You would need a 20-year plan. You would need a 30-year plan. You could have a 5-year plan. To have people exercise more, to eat better, to understand that the foods that they're consuming can help them heal. But when you're putting food in the microwave on a consistent basis, ladies and gentlemen, you're irradiating the food. You're destroying what nutrients are left in the food. Do you happen to have a family member that works for a laboratory that does testing on foods? Do you happen to have someone that works at the CDC, at a research lab, at a lab in a hospital? You see, ladies and gentlemen, how we're going to fight this, and the only way we're going to understand it for many of us, is not through people doing a podcast or even from reading an information that I'm putting out. We want to hear this from someone in a lab coat. Ask a family member, ask someone that you love and trust to get you some real information about the real effects of what food and chemicals and pesticides are doing to your body. And I know, and I really understand that the reason that most people don't want to confront this is fear and money. They're afraid that they'll have to change their lifestyle. They're afraid they'll be ostracized by their family and friends if they change what they eat and how they think. And the money aspect is many people work for chemical companies. Whether it's Procter & Gamble, whether it's the GE Cyril, whether it's the companies that make the plastics. Many of us work for hospitals, research labs that are all tied intricately into this collective economy of dis-ease. We may not make the food that is killing us, the artificial foods, the sugars, but many of us are tied into that. We work for research labs. We work for schools as a school nurse that talk about giving the children vaccines every year, knowing the research is out there that vaccines do not help children, ladies and gentlemen. What helps your child is proper nutrition. So I know that many of us are afraid to face the true reality that no one is going to save us. But we still hold on to the hope that maybe if we pray enough, if we say enough, if we collectively hold hands and wrap our arms around the lifestyle that we have been living for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, that everything's going to be okay. That our religious beliefs, whatever that may be, is going to protect us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're the sickest right now in 2010 than we've ever been, I would say, in the history of mankind. Because all of the creature comforts that we love, from the carpeting on the floor to the paneling to the paint to everything in our homes, this in our cars that we live by, the cell phones that are convenient, ladies and gentlemen, they're destroying our bodies and we don't realize it because it happens so slowly. Incremental death is still death. So start looking at what you're eating. The research is there. It's in the books. It's in research journals. It's in medical publications that we as the common man don't read because we think that's just for my doctor to read. The doctors don't read it because they're worried about their practice. They're worried if the insurance companies are going to be paying them quick enough and enough money so that they can keep their office afloat. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, to take our health back. It's time for us to do what we did as children when we were interested in a subject, we studied it. And I'll leave you with this quote. Where there is no culture, there is no indigenous knowledge. Where there is no indigenous knowledge, there is no history. Where there is no history, there is no science or technology. The existing nature is made by our past. Let us protect and conserve our indigenous knowledge. Boil down, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't understand our past, we definitely will not understand where we're going in the future. History is repeating a cycle right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you go and look at history, find your best friend who was a history buff, who knew about history, who knew all the wars and the conflicts and the battles, and ask them how close are we to reliving all over again what happened during Korea, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the real Cold War, and all of that, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll say this, that if we're headed toward another war with Iran, where do you think the oil prices are going to go? If they're $2.50, $2.60, $3 a gallon where you live, if they double and go to $5, $6 a gallon, or triple because of this, how many of us are on the edge right now with our lifestyles being able to afford or just to get by from paycheck to paycheck? And that's just the gasoline, ladies and gentlemen. If it goes up an extra dollar or two where you live, that has to be passed on to the trucking companies that bring the food to your stores, the products to where you live and shop, and that means that your dollar will not stretch any farther. It's going to decrease with its buying power. Collectivism, ladies and gentlemen, collectivism in your community and with each other, it's what's going to carry us through the economic challenges that we're facing right now in our health. Because our health is still our wealth. We need to build back up our wealth. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, where we'll talk about some economic news that you need to use. I'm your host, Daryl Nobles.